Aloha! Cowboy.
All right, we're sitting in the in Planet Hollywood. We are in the Steve Martin themed room. I'm sitting here with Gooch. Gooch is the... You do afternoon radio here at KOMP, is that right?
Yes, 92.3 KOMP on your FM dial.
Is... I know you don't do the DJ puking voice.
No. That was my... The person who taught me radio, her name was Kara West.
Uh-huh.
And actually, she ended up marrying Larry the Cable Guy. So,
what?
Yeah.
In real life?
In real life, yeah. They have two kids together and stuff. So she's like my best friend, and that was the very first lesson she ever told me. She's like, she goes, lesson number one, don't do this. You know what I mean?
Ever.
Talk to me like you're talking to the mic. You know, talk to me like you're talking to somebody in regular conversation. So
when you hear yourself back, do you ever go, ah, I wish I could do something different?
That's how it was in the beginning. You know, when you listen to yourself in the very, very, you know, you're in radio too, you know, and it's like when you listen to yourself in the very beginning, it's like, you know, I'm not really coming across the way I want to come across.
I don't have those pipes.
Well, that's exactly.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
And, you know, and that's the thing, and I don't have those, I don't have that traditional, like, deep radio classic voice. I got this, you know, dumpy, gravelly, you know, kind of high-pitched thing going
every
on.
Every once in a while.
Yeah, every once in a while, you know. Just sprouted my first pube. Hey, let's give something away.
Here's Metallica.
Yeah, sound like Shaggy or Scooby Doo or something.
Yeah, I know the saying. Every once in a while, when I first started, I listen back and just think, oh, it just sounds so. Doesn't sound like what I'm used to hearing on the radio. But then you get the feedback. I go, no, you're perfect because you have a distinctive voice.
People can
pick your voice right out of anything. Like I remember the first couple months that I was on the radio, I had somebody in line at the post office. I was like on the phone, and they turn around and go, are you Mudflap?
Yeah.
I was shocked. I'm like, yeah, I recognized your voice. Like, okay, I guess that's a good thing. You
the
know?
Funniest thing, the funniest time that ever happened was I was at like a restaurant or something like that with my girl, and this is just when that Cleveland bus driver, when the guy punched that chick in the face.
Oh,
you
yeah.
You see that, right?
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, I'm not advocating violence against women, but Jesus. I mean, it was like, I couldn't stop watching it. It was just like one of the most crazy uppercuts I've ever seen. So anyways, the waiter, he's a young guy. I go, dude, come here. And he's like, which is kind of weird for anyone to do. But here, look at this random act of violence right here. So he watches it, and I start talking, and we start talking. And he goes, I know you, dude. I know you, dude. And then he asks who I was, and he goes, are you on the radio? I go, yeah. He's like, bro. And then that was pretty much it.
You got the voice. Was it.
It stands out. I mean, what can I say?
But you do stand up here in Vegas a lot, and you travel a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, I just saw you on the cover of something here in
town. The Las Vegas Review-Journal.
Yeah.
Yeah, right on the entertainment section. It was me, Gabe Lopez, and Jen Murphy. There was a dirty show I was promoting, and then I was just down there talking about it. It was pretty neat.
Yeah, so you're one of the DJs here that also gets visual. So people recognize you. Because, you know, a lot of DJs, you have no idea what they look like.
Right, right. Well, with a lot of DJs, there's a couple of guys out there that will do, maybe they'll do like an internet talk show where, you know, they'll film it and maybe have some like random local celebrity on and they'll talk to them. Or maybe they'll get up there and do some MC work. You know, like there's a guy here in town who's really popular, and, you know, he goes out there with the UNLV Rebels. Make some noise, everyone! Yeah! And that's pretty much what he does. But I think stand-up, nothing is harder in the world than stand-up, and I think that's why I keep doing it.
Well, you did great.
Oh,
we worked together last week at
Sin
City Comedy Club.
Thank you. You were murdering.
Thank you. But you were great, because you murder only because, I mean, saying I murder only because you killed them in such a place that you left bodies, and I just had to chop them up. But you were like, it's great when the person in front of you just could leave the stage like with an electric guitar and go, thank you, good night.
Yeah, exactly. Like, goodbye, Cleveland.
Yeah.
You know? But, and you're right. The thing is, though, is it took a while for me to get to that point where somebody murders, and that's to where I look like that's a good thing, you know, because there are those times when you start out in stand-up where if somebody murders in front of you, it gets in your head and you think you have to top that, and then when you start playing that little mind game with yourself, it doesn't work out.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So but it's like now when I see someone murder in front of me, I'm like, okay, I can go with it.
Right.
But like you, it's like, and that was the thing, like at that point, like you're at that, you know, you're at the point that I'm trying to get at where it's like, who cares who goes out in front of me? I'm just going to go out there and murder and
do my thing.
Yeah.
Do my thing.
And that's the thing.
I've tried to describe it as, like somebody asked me one time, it's kind of like surfing. If the wave is at a high peak, you have to know what point in the wave to hit it and start going. How do you ride this? You don't want it to crest when you get on stage. Then it's shit. It's over.
Yeah, exactly.
You
know what I mean? It's a wrap, dude. Yeah, I don't want to wipe out.
Yeah,
you know?
and you don't want the little wave to go. You don't want to go.
No.
You would paddle and I'll get the next one. You know.
Well, but, you know, the thing is there are some comics out there. Somebody was asking me about that show, and they go the Sin City Comedy, which is a great show. They said, how does that work? Like when you have, because we go up there, we start off the show, a comic goes up, and then a girl comes out and does burlesque dancing, and then the same comic goes out there and does another 15, 20 minutes.
Right.
And they're like, well, how does that work? And I go, you just need a comic that has to know how to start from scratch. You know what I mean? Because it's like, it's just like when you have like a host come out and they don't really do a lot of jokes, but they just separate everybody. Mm-hmm. So the girls are definitely a good buffer between that. So
right.
It's like everybody gets their own distinction, and it works out, you know?
Yeah. And I think the girls, as weird as it seems to a lot of people, because you get that a lot, what? There's dancers in comedy?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really weird. Well, I had some people come in last night that have seen me before in Vegas several times, at, you know, the MGM or the Trop. They came in last night, and after the show, we were talking, and I said, did you know there was girls? No, I didn't expect that.
Right.
And I was like, okay, so what do you think? Thought it was great.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That was an unsolicited, they didn't know, they liked it. And I think it's a good separation between all the comedy clubs in town.
Oh yeah, for sure. There's no other show that like it. And that's why it works. So it's like, yeah, I really like that show a lot.
What is your favorite club to work in? If you even want to say this on the podcast,
you know,
you don't
have to. There's a number. Like I definitely like Sin City at the Planet Hollywood. That's just a fun show, you know, especially when you get to interact with the staff a lot, and that's fun. You hang out backstage and learn some stories. We learn some stories. I don't know if we're allowed to talk about them on the air, but
we learned stuff.
Yeah, we learned stuff. But then there's the Laugh Factory at the Trop is a real fun club, you know, or it's just like they know how to pack it in. There's certain places out there that don't have the right vibe, though. I'm not going to name names, but it's like, but one rhymes with Rad Raritz, you know, and so I'm just going to let you know. No, I'm just saying, the only thing is, though, is they say, this is the one thing I get from everybody that plays that club.
Right.
They just say, it's a great club, but it's a tough club. Like, it's not is open. Like you go to the Laugh Factory and in the Sin City, it just seems like the Sin City 9 o'clock shows. Like you go there and the vibe is different.
Right.
But it's like, but the other place, but the place I just mentioned, it's very nice, very classy, and it's almost you kind of want it to be a little bit run down.
A little bit, yeah. Because I Brad's club. If that's
right.
Brad.
Whoa, what are you talking
wait a
about?
Minute.
What?
Wait. The one at MGM,
yeah.
Whatever that club
right,
is
right,
down there.
Of course.
It is a higher end,
yeah.
Kind of like you kind of feel like you ought to dress up.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little more of the Vegas.
Right.
I like that sometimes.
Right.
Because I like the change in, like there's, like you said, there's this kind of club, there's that kind of club. There's the $10 club, and then there's $70 club. So it's fun to kind of go, all right, how can I make this work?
Right, exactly.
For me, that's
right. Well, you know, like when you were at Planet Hollywood, you were wearing like just regular t-shirt. But at that Brad's club, I would imagine you wear like just a Sons of Anarchy t-shirt, and that way, and really class it up.
Really, really, really freak them out. Well, I got to tell you, even last night here at Planet Hollywood, I put on a really nice, expensive Western shirt.
Mm-hmm.
It's embroidered with skulls on the front, and
right.
roses and skulls on the back.
Yeah,
it's beautiful. I felt like that right off the bat, they were like, what's this? What's going on?
Yeah.
What's, I don't get it. So second show, I wore just a t-shirt.
Right, right.
Murdered.
Yeah.
Killed.
This is me.
Killed. This is
glory.
The real me. I'm not trying to. But I think sometimes you have to figure out what the club, what the club is.
I think for everybody, it's going to be a little different. You know, if, like, it all depends. Like, I just have the same button-up black t-shirt, sleeved collared shirt that I wear, you know, and that's pretty much, like, my nice garb.
Yeah, but I gotta say, you got some of the best comic t-shirts I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah.
What was that?
The Richard Pryor Slayer one and Bill Hicks fits.
Yeah. Those were two great comic t-shirts. Where did you find those?
There's a website, I think it's called Shirt and Destroy or something, and then there's a artist named AJ, and he's got a bunch of them, and somebody posted the Richard Pryor shirt on my Facebook, and I'm like, sold, and granted, it was more expensive than I would normally pay for a t-shirt, but where else am I going to find that, you know? I
mean, what would you normally pay for a t-shirt?
Oh, like $10 or something.
I'm still freaked out by going to, like, these stores here in Vegas, and there's a $150 t-shirt.
A t-shirt? Like, what are you going to get out of that? Can I wear this to a job interview or a funeral?
Right.
Because it's not going to happen,
right,
you know?
Does it jerk me off and then wipe me up later?
Yeah, exactly, right. Well, maybe wipe me off. maybe wipe me off. But yeah, it's like, that's the thing. But that's what Vegas is, though. This is one thing that I love about Vegas but I also hate about it. It's people like to blame Vegas for all their problems, and they like to say, oh, it's so superficial. Oh yeah, where are you from? Los Angeles. And I'm like, oh right, of course. Yeah, no superficiality.
Nothing fake there at all.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, thanks for bringing your fake boobies to town.
I know, right? Fake boobies and your Botox injected lips and your daddy issues. Welcome to Vegas. Yeah, right. Get out of here, dude. It's so bogus.
Daddy issues.
Right. That's, I'm telling you, man.
Like, this town has a lot of daddy issues.
Oh,
doesn't
dude.
It?
Oh, somebody didn't get taken to the circus or hugged enough, or maybe they got hugged too much.
Too much.
Who knows?
I'm thinking there might have been a little too much hugging on
too
some
much,
of
yeah,
them.
Exactly. Maybe not by dad. Maybe more like creepy uncle. But I'm just saying, like,
do you remember the standards? Because you were trying to figure out these in the past, where there would always be like somebody, if they didn't have daddy around, they might be withdrawn or just looking for the right kind, like looking for a man.
Right.
So now I'm trying to decide, is the daddy issue that, because there seems to be a sluttiness now attached to the daddy issue.
Oh, yeah.
And where it used to just be, I'm just looking for attention.
Yeah, right.
See what I'm saying?
Well, there's the bar star, and I think that's what you're alluding to, because the bar star to me is the chick who needs the attention, and you know, she's the kind of chick that when she hears Crazy Bitch by Buck Cherry, she just grabs a pool
she's
stick.
She's crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
That's my jam!
Exactly. You know, grabs the stick and starts, it scratches all down your back. Oh my God, you know.
Yeah.
And if you're with that girl, it's the most frustrating thing. And those are the girls too. It's so funny because they always seem like they're the most confident and they're always willing to talk to everybody that comes around. But when you break them down, there is just... They're very insecure, and they really don't have a direction in life. And that's why they always hook up with all these dudes or whatever, because it's like they're looking for someone to point them in that direction that their dad should have done. That's
right.
How I always analyze it anyway.
Right. Because I'm seeing the twist.
I hate to get all Dr. Phil on you. You know?
I call it Dr. Phil Billy on the show.
Right. Where's Podcat, by the way?
Oh, Podcat needs to be here, but we're doing this. I'll post a picture of me, or maybe I'll get a picture of you, and then I'll superimpose the cat on your lap.
Make it weird. I'm just like, hey, it's Podcat.
But no, from walking over to the Cosmopolitan the other night, I saw a lot of what you just said, the bar stars.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's almost creepy. It's like, I don't understand what you're here. Is it, are you here to party? Get laid, get noticed, what is your...
And that's the thing with these girls, like, it's amazing because you go over to the Cosmo where, you know, you'll see some stunning looking women, but at the same time, you'll always notice damage. You know, it's like finding like a, you know, one of those Carl Yastrzemski, one of those rare baseball cards. You're like, oh, uh-huh. Wow, it's so rare. Oh, but the corners are bent. You know what I mean? That's how these girls are.
It's like a Ferrari with the headlight broken.
Exactly. You know they're like, hey, why not get it fixed? No, I'm okay. You know
there's nothing wrong with it.
There's nothing wrong with it. Kind of.
Yeah, there really is.
You know, and that's the thing. It's like they dress to the nines and they put on these expensive, like, you know, handkerchiefs that they call a skirt. You know what I mean? And it's like they go all out on their makeup, and it's like you could tell there's something they're trying to cover up. Like anytime, like my girl, she's the best. I was like, there's no club atmosphere. She's like, oh god, you know, like if somebody's having a birthday party, she's like, I gotta go to this effing club, you know. And she's
don't
there.
You love that?
Oh, dude, that's honestly, that was the number one thing that sold me on her. I'm like, boom, keep her.
Yeah, because you were talking about an ex in your show, and which I loved the bit about get down from the bar,
right? Yeah. Well, because there was a girl, and maybe 3-4 years ago, and she was a really nice girl, and everybody that you met was like, oh, she's so nice. The only people that really didn't like her were my comic friends, because they were like, oh, dude, you know, because as comics, this is what happens. You have some guys that really like to, that are on all the time.
Right, it drives you crazy.
And that drives you crazy. So when I'm off stage, I mean, it's one thing, yeah. I mean, like, we'll have laughs backstage,
yeah.
But you're not going to sit there and see me do a kickworm or something like that to,
right.
You know, like, really amplify what I'm trying to do here, you know? But the thing is, though, is as comics, though, we were, and on top of that, too, we're just taught to notice things that not everybody notices, and it was like, she was, my comic friends, they were just like, dude, you know, they would call her a female gooch. They go, it's female gooch. And I'm like, oh, what? And they're like, oh, she acts just like you. You know what I mean? Like,
y'all are perfect.
Yeah, perfect. And I'm like, no. And I'm like, you think? And they're like, I don't know about that. You know what I mean? Like, but they didn't like being around her because it was too much.
Yeah.
And then when you date someone like that, and you go to the bar or something, and next thing you know, she's talking to every dude in the place, trying to get some more attention. Look at me, look at me, look at me. And then you got to be the asshole to be like, come on, let's get out of here.
Right.
Hey, dude, what's your problem, man? She's just having a good time, dude.
Leave her alone.
Yeah, leave her alone, man. Just say, you know what, babe? I'll take you home. You know what I mean? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
And then she's like, oh, it's all right. He'll take me. Oh, right. Some dirty stranger is going to take you home. And
yeah,
I'm
if you
want to
leave, fine. I got a ride.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, a ride in more ways than one. Yeah, a ride in the backseat, too. You know, it's just like, it was just one of those things where you just couldn't stand it. You know, you just couldn't
stand it.
Just
got to the point. It's too much.
Yeah. Like, dude, there was one time. All right, it's true story, all right? On my 30th birthday, I got pink eye, okay? And it was awful.
Huh?
And it was awful, right? It was awful. I hated it, right? But my eye was all inflamed and everything. And I had a hat on, you know, and I'm wearing it low. And we're at Benihana's. And there's other people at the table. And she's like, and all of a sudden, they're like, here you go. And then she just out of nowhere, she goes, oh, don't worry about him. He's got pink eye, but he's good. And he washes his hands. I'm just like thinking that she's being funny. I'm like, you just ruined their dinner. You know what I mean?
Totally ruined the dinner.
Dude, and I'm not with my mom and my dad and all that stuff. And it's like, I wanted to just stay in. I'm like, look, I'm kind of fucked up. Let me just wear these sunglasses. And they're like, no, just put a hat on, pull it down. You know what I mean? Wash your hands or whatever. I'm like, all right. But then she brings it out to everybody.
Don't worry about it. He's not really diseased. Yeah, he's not leprosy.
Yeah, go ahead and go for it. Yeah, there's a cure for pink eye. It's totally okay. Meanwhile, I'm over here feeling like I'm the outbreak monkey. You know what I mean? Like, I'm the host organism. Like, no, sorry about that, everyone. It's all because of me.
What was the final straw with this, disaster?
We just kept arguing and arguing and arguing. And finally, one day I woke up. I had a radio remote. I had to be at 10 a.m. So I woke up at 9. By 9:10, I was broken up. When she immediately started bitching. I go, that's it! I can't take it! We're done! We're done! We're done! And that's how you know you're done, when you just keep saying we're done, like, over
just,
and over.
Like something snapped. Just something, yeah. There was a glitch in the computer. Yeah. We're done! We're done! We're done! We're done! We're done! We're done! We're done!
Yeah. All of a sudden, it looks like Jack's manuscript from The Shining. You know what I mean? Just like, we're done! We're done! We're done! We're done! We're done! Next page, we're done, we're done, we're done. I just can't deal with it anymore, man.
And then she goes, what are you saying?
What are you saying?
What are you saying?
What are you saying? I'm saying we're fucking done. I can't take it. You know? So, dude, and it was so funny, too, because, like I had to do that, and then I had to go do my show, and I got off at 7 o'clock. I came home at 7. All of her stuff was gone. It was a wrap. And then it was toodaloo. See you later, babe. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, again, she was a nice girl. She was a nice girl, but
she is not the one.
She is like not this the one. Yeah, exactly.
Say nice things, because she might hear
this. Yeah, well, the one that I'm with now, right, Lisa's the best, because she's just, it's funny, because with comics, like, is it me, or are we always with women that are not easily impressed? You know what I mean? It's like...
Takes a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you
takes
know,
a lot.
Exactly. And it's like, if they're, you know, because it's like, they're not easily impressed by a lot. And even when she's at my show, she's like, okay. You know what I mean? But, like, if I say something over the radio or something like that, she'll be the first one to be, you know, if she hears me on the radio or something like that, she's like, that was good. But she's not... You know, unless the only time we ever really have a big laugh together is if we're watching a movie or is if we're making fun of someone. So,
we're watching a movie or having sex.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know.
And then she's like hysterical.
Yeah. And she's the only one laughing, but you know, I'm just crying and trying to make up excuses. But
So, what actually got you into stand-up? Was it a transition from radio? Was radio first?
It was actually stand-up was first. I was 20 years old. And and my buddy, he made up some big lie about... he was in a frat, and I should have known better because he hated the frat, but he was in this frat, and he's like, I got picked to do some entertainment thing, and I gotta do comedy, and you're the funniest guy I know, so we'll have you go down to this bar, and all the frat guys are gonna be there. And I'm like, all right. So I go down there, there's no one there, and he's like, I go, where are all your buddies? He's like, oh, I lied. I go, what? He's like, you've been talking about it forever, so just get up there and do it. And I go, I don't have any jokes, you know, and he's like, just get up there. And thank God there was this guy named Bob Perdue, okay, and he's still in town, and he's got a voice like this, and he tells jokes. And he's a cabbie.
So, all right. Okay.
Yeah, and before it was Bob Perdue, now all of a sudden it's Bob the cabbie guy, right? Which is like, you know,
Larry the cabbie.
Yeah, exactly. Very, very easily played off. But he's like, so I'm driving my cab the other day, and I hit a mime, and someone said, you should probably bury that mime. And I said, a mime is a terrible thing to waste. And then he would have this creepy smile after every one of his jokes. So everybody would always go up after him, and they would make these jokes about, so I was killing a hooker the other day. I have a hooker in the trunk of my cab. And it's just, and he went up right before me, and then as soon as I saw that, I'm like, I can do this, you know? So I went up there and bombed, you know, and then I went back the next week and bombed. And then finally I had some friends come out there, and I felt like I did good in front of all my buddies, but they laughed. But
as we talked before, when you bomb and then you bomb again, you might have been onto something. You might have been onto your own style of comedy, and you should have stayed bombing, apparently, right?
Well, this is what happened in Vegas. Like, I would go, after a few years, I would go to the bars and I would kill at the bars. I would get really good. This is what happened. After about a year, I was working a year of stand-up. I got in and I started interning with Kara at KOMP, and then, and I would do that from like, I would get off work at like 7 o'clock or 8, and I would get over there, and from the rest of the night, from whenever I got there to midnight, that's when I would start my internship. She would actually let me crack the mic, and everything was great. And so I did that. So stand-up kind of took a back seat for a few years. But the thing is, though, is all I did was, actually, it took a back seat for maybe 7 years, because like, I was still doing stand-up. I was trying to do it as much as I could, but if you're only getting up once every 2 weeks, once every month, you know,
you're not getting the chops.
You're not getting the chops, yeah. You know, and on top of that, you're only doing bars. So all you know is like the over the top. And in Vegas, Doug Stanhope started out here. So he was worshipped when I first started. And, you know, if for those of you who don't know Doug Stanhope, he's over the top on everything. I think he's great. He makes me laugh. But he's way over the top and talks about a lot. And the subject matter isn't what you would hear at a normal comedy club.
At a casino club.
Exactly, yeah. You know. And so I would go, had my little set at the bars, and I'm over here shocking, and I'm killing at the bars. And then I would try and get into a club, and I would bomb, and I had to start all over again and retrain myself and try and find like some material. And in Vegas, every comic will tell you Vegas is the hardest place to play. You know, Vegas and Atlantic City, stuff like that,
yeah.
Because there's so much entertainment going on here. And on top of that, people aren't paying for tickets most of the time. They're getting free tickets, and then, you know, and they're like, oh, let's just stop by here and check it out. You know, that's always the attitude with a Vegas comedy crowd. It's like, let's just check it out. You know,
it's cheaper than the Beatles
exactly.
show. Let's go here.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I don't want to see Love. You know, people dance around in brightly colored clothes to the great soundtrack. You know, let's go check this one out for $10.
Yeah. Oh, you know? Speaking of Beatles, I found a story. This is one thing I was going to bring up to you. I found a story a friend sent to me yesterday. That a dentist in the UK.
What's the clone John Lennon?
Because he has the tooth.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Right.
Okay. What do you think? Is that a yes we should or a what the hell?
Well, I would like to see a John Lennon grow up in this era, and then I would like to see if he would write Imagine 30 years later. You know what I mean? Something tells me probably not.
I think a version of Imagine might be something like, hey, hey, hey. Hey, imagine. Hey. Woo, woo. You know what I mean?
Throw your hands in the air. Imagine. Yeah. And that's a thing. Like, you got to wonder because if it's going to be cloned, maybe it's going to have the same brain activity, you never know. Or maybe it's going to be a slightly more retarded John Lennon, and he's just like going to do Barney songs.
And his song, but, his first song will be.
Imagine.
Well, I think it's funny because everybody thinks when you clone something, you get that. That, you know, that you clone it and you get that.
No.
That's not what you
no.
get. Like, some people, they're already cloning their dogs and cats and things, you know, because they miss that dog. You don't even get that dog back. You get something that looks like, you get, or maybe the exact dog, it looks like that dog.
Well, right, yeah.
But doesn't a Chihuahua already look like a Chihuahua?
Well,
Doesn't a Samoyed already look like a Samoyed?
You can just get a new one, for God's sake. Yeah, why would you clone? Why would you spend millions of dollars? I don't even know if it's legal, but I mean, why would you spend thousands and thousands of dollars to clone a dog that, you know what, just have the memories that you have.
Yeah, because you're not getting that dog back.
Yeah, you know what? And then when the dog dies a second time, it's going to be hard again. You know what I mean? Granted, I'm sure every time the dog dies, it's going to be a little bit easier to take because you're like, oh, we'll just get the newer model.
Yeah.
You know, but it's...
Right, but it's not going to have the same personality.
Right.
It doesn't bring you its water bowl when it's thirsty.
You're going to have to retrain
it.
It's not like you're going to get the same dog.
Yeah, so I think the only reason cloning might be in handy, it wouldn't be about... cloning to get like John Lennon or cloning to get your cat or dog. I think cloning would be like when you get dumped and you go, I want another one of those.
Right.
I've still got her hair in a brush.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? And then I'll train this one properly.
Yeah. What time is it? It's 11 o'clock and I don't smell bacon! Right, get right on
it! No, I'm sorry, honey!
Yeah, refer to me as Czar.
So Czar and I were out there.
Czar and I. Kneel before Czar. You know, so yeah.
That would be the only thing that I think cloning would come in handy, you know?
So there's that, and then plus there's a movie that came out where they had cloning, they cloned someone and they basically would clone them to use their organs.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, you basically just have this, you let this person be alive for a little bit. Oh, I need some stuff. All right, time to kill you. And let's go give it back to the original one.
To the original owner.
Yeah, right? I mean, so there's to me, it's just like, just at this point, if you're going to clone, let's clone like a dinosaur. You know what I mean? But let's start small. You know what I mean? Let's not.
You know, the T-Rex thing doesn't work for you.
Let's
right
settle
off the
down. Yeah, let's not go with the T-Rex thing, but let's start small. Let's not go. You know, like, let's go with one of the smaller, littler dinosaurs, or maybe a pterodactyl will teach, you know, and fly on its back or something, you know. But it's just, if you're going to clone, let's do something that hasn't been done yet, you know. Like, maybe we could probably clone an animal that died a long time ago, and that'll give us the cure for cancer. I mean, it's like, you never know.
Let's
make some dodo birds is all I'm trying to say.
I think if we're going to clone, and you brought up a good point, why don't we bring back, like, brontosaurus? Because... look how much people we could feed. How many people we could feed?
Oh, that's a good point.
With a bron, like, you know
that's
what I mean? Because you always see the brontosaurus ribs and the Flintstones pull over the car.
Yeah.
Giant rack of ribs. They could Think of all the countries we could feed if we just had like a Brontosaurus ranch.
And on top
ranch.
Of that, too.
Welcome to Brontosaurus Barbecue!
Come on down! You know, ride it right on its back and then eat it later. You know, you could have that, and the plus you could also do like they did in the Flintstones where they use them for like construction equipment. I mean, it's like, you know, it'd be a lot easier to move.
Right.
You know, just...
You're back to just all you gotta
back
do is
to
train
that.
Them right. Just
that's it,
get
exactly.
it early, train it.
Just like your calm girlfriend, you gotta train them. You know what I mean? Just...
I think we could be on to something.
I mean, I'm telling you right now, let's get some lab coats and some clipboards. Let's do it.
What invention do you think of this century, era, whatever week is the greatest thing right now? I mean, are you a computer, laptop? What is the?
Well,
what is
you're
your...
talking like inventions. I mean, probably the greatest invention that we've. I mean, you got to go with smartphone. You know, cell phone. I would probably say smartphone now, just because it could do everything. It's become so integrated into our society that you can't do without it. You know, like if I don't have my phone on me, I'm like, what's going on? Oh God. And I don't want to go back to the 90s when I was happy and could talk to people. Like, what's this?
Yeah, you know, I don't know how to interact.
Yeah, what, talk on the phone? That's crazy. You know, it's but the thing is, though, is with every piece of technology that comes out, you're always going to have negatives. Like, hey, you know what? Fire can be deemed as, oh, it's the greatest invention ever. But look how much fire is destroyed. So the wheel is the greatest invention ever. Yeah, but you can also attach the wheel to tanks and all
and
this
you
other
roll
stuff.
Over
exactly,
people,
roll
yeah.
over people. So, and that's the same thing with cell phones. I mean, you know, now, you know, our cell phones are getting tapped into and, you know, and people are even able to access your camera on the phone. So,
yeah.
I mean, you can put it there on the dresser or whatever like that, bang your old lady, and next thing you know, somebody's got some audio at home,
right.
You know what I mean, that they're rubbing one out to.
But isn't it horrible? Like the other day, I walked out on the strip here in Vegas and was just trying to people watch, and you see just herds of people looking at their phone.
Oh, yeah.
They're just walking. They're like walking dead. They're just... You've seen it.
Oh, dude, they're total zombies. And that's what I'm getting at. It's just so much technology. Look, the worst thing... Like, just like the internet. The internet was, oh, God, it's the information superhighway, and we're using this to get the podcast out, and there's so much good things that go along with the internet, but at the same time, the internet has also made it very easy to molest kids. You know what I mean? It's also made it very easy to organize certain groups that you...
Terrorists?
Terrorists, yeah, you know what I mean? And it's like, you know, stuff like that, and there's so... With every great thing comes the negativity that's involved with it, and same thing with my phone, like, cell phones, like... Love my girl, like I mentioned, but Jesus, just get, you know, like, we'll be hanging out, and then she's a hairdresser, so she gets a lot of emails and Facebook messages from clients asking her when they can make an appointment. So I'll be hanging out, so we'll be out with friends or whatever, like that. She's on her phone, and she's like, you know, and I look over, and I'm like, hey, wait, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? You
Who's
know
that?
What I mean?
Who's that?
Who is that?
Who is that?
Are you banging him? You know what I mean? It's just like, but it's like, you know, and then she gets the hint, you know what I mean? But it's just rude, you know? I mean, there's really, getting to know someone is a forgotten art now. You know, like young people for the most part, it just seems like, because of YouTube and because of all these internet sites, it just seems like nowadays people aren't focused on doing the right thing. Now it's all about, hey, how do I get out there? How do I get seen? And then, hey, that fame is going to carry over and make me money. And that's what the internet has helped do. You know, it's helped make celebrities out of the Kardashians when they shouldn't be. You
right,
know,
right.
Same thing, Honey Boo Boo. The list goes on. Basketball Wives. I mean, it's like these are all television shows, but the only reason people even know who they are is because of the internet. Oh, it's you're this guy's wife or you're this guy's girlfriend or whatever.
Is it internet and laziness, though? Because I think people don't want to do anything anymore.
Well,
I think if you could just lay in your fat little chair and watch Honey Boo Boo, you don't have to do anything. And you still go, I'm still better than that.
Right,
you know, like
right.
It
yeah.
brings it to you, but you don't have to. There's no thinking involved. It's just like, show me what the Kardashians did today.
Well, you know, and that's the sad truth, because when you look at, there was a, what's that one, Wall-E? You ever see Wall-E,
right.
The Disney one?
Mm-hmm.
And it's my boss was talking to me. He's like, you know, it's kind of a sad depiction of the future. Like, everybody's just fat and watching TV. And honestly, that's what's going on now. You know what I mean? We used to be the fattest nation in the whole world. Now we're number two behind Mexico. But still, where do you think Mexico learned it from? You know what I mean? It's like
we exported
exactly. We exported fat over to you. You know what I mean? Like, it's just.
Yeah, we were talking last week. I had Martin Germain, who was Mr. KFI, Mr. KABC, the DJ, and we were talking about the Wally thing, and it was weird how that's almost, you're right, it's become a prediction of the future. That was just a cartoon, but now that you think back on it, you go, God, that really is like one of those.
I mean, you look at some of the things, you look at, it's funny because you look at something like, Back to the Future 2. Remember how that was the depiction? Granted, we're at it now.
Yeah.
You know, where they said it was going to be. And, you know, and the Cubs still haven't won the World Series. But it's like they had some cooler things. Oh, a jacket that dries itself and shoes that lace themselves. And they have those now. You know,
But
nobody
Velcro.
Wants to wear it. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Nobody wants to wear that. So they have those now. But, you know, people are like, oh, where's the hoverboard? Where's the flying cars? I'm like, yeah, but you know what? They were still having projection screens in that future, you know? And they had, you know, nowadays you got HD TV where it looks like, where it's better than being there.
And
the color is even more vibrant than being there in person. And it's.
But look at Star Wars. Go to Star Wars. Star Wars had that projected image.
Yeah, the hologram.
The hologram. Yeah. They had the hologram back in, that was the 70s, that they were like, we're going to have that. And there was talk for a while that there was going to be hologram TV that you could actually watch, and it would look like it was just going on in front of you.
Right. Well, you know, then they got 3D TV, you know, and that's, you know, kind of stupid.
Hasn't really caught on.
Yeah, yeah, you know.
But
so.
Okay, you brought up the hoverboard and the flying cars.
Right.
This has always been my thing about it, because I hear people do that too. You know, we're supposed to have the flying cars, but we have the capabilities. We always hear the. Yeah, but you want to know why we don't have flying cars? And I'll give you the perfect example of why the government or any doesn't allow us to have self-checkout at Walmart. If you have trouble actually doing self-checkout, do you really want that person
driving a flying,
airplane? Do you know what I mean? If that's why we're not allowed to have it.
I don't understand.
Stand.
It's right in front of you. Yeah.
Do you push this and slide
the card.
Is it cash or check? Wait, I'm using a credit card. Why isn't it?
You don't deserve a Mr. Fusion on the back of your car. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
You don't deserve that, and you're totally right. And on top of that, too, people are we need flying cars. How are you gonna have a freeway or anything? You just can't have flying shit everywhere.
You can't drive now.
Yeah.
How can you know what level you're supposed to be flying?
Yeah, and
you're flying. Please fly at an altitude of 31,000.223 feet.
Yeah.
You know, and
exactly right. That's what I'm saying, and it's like the public. And this is the sad truth too, and it's just the public is so. And I really do think it's because of television and the entertainment aspect of it now. Like, I actually heard a good interview. It was one of the guys from Cheers, and he was talking about why that show is so different. And he goes, "You compare it to shows now, and the humor is different, and it's because the writers on that show were the last writers that appreciated books, and now the writers on every show." Grew up watching television, and it's like, you know, and it's the same thing.
I totally agree. They're eating themselves, kind of thing. It's like,
exactly.
I saw that. Like every Christmas, how many versions of It's a Wonderful Life do you get on TV? Parody of a Christmas Carol do you get on every episode of?
Exactly. You know, exactly. And that's the thing. And it's like, oh, well, it worked on Different Strokes. Let's have it work on a Big Bang Theory. You know, and that's
right.
And that's what. And that's really what's happened. And it's sad because, you know, there were so many, like, you know, everybody says that every aspect of entertainment goes back to Shakespeare, right? Because he wrote out so many different scenarios.
That's what they say about Sons of Anarchy, which is Sons of Anarchy is Shakespeare on bikes.
Exactly, I just hope Jax doesn't bang Gemma. But it's like, you know, that's going to be weird. Well, I don't know if I'll handle that.
You know, I think that's the weird part of the mom issue.
You know? All of a sudden, that's the end. You're just like, what? It's like, I don't know if you ever see, there is a show, I don't want to name the show, but it's an HBO show where they had that. And I mean, it's so funny. Me and my girl were watching the episode and we're just like, no. It's going, and I mean, it's full on, and it's just like, God.
I think there was a movie a while back called, I think it was called Welcome to the Dollhouse that did that. There was a like, you saw it building up to the possibilities that mom was going to seduce the kid just because she's lonely. And you're like, ah, this could be the creepiest thing I've ever seen in my...
No matter how many turpentine showers I take, I'm never going to get clean, dude.
Forget daddy issues. Yeah. That would be the worst.
Can I get an eyedropper full of bleach, thanks? You know, it's just like, I'll never forget that. Goodbye, sleepless night.
Well, you were mentioning things like that you see in those movies that about the what's supposed to be the future. I thought of this the other day, because remember in the past, to show that it was supposed to be the future, like way off in the future, they always gave us a black president.
Fifth Element. Exactly. Yeah, all of a sudden you went from beating up Hulk Hogan and No Holds Barred to being the president of the world, by the way. Not just America. The world. Yeah,
and that was supposed to be the future.
Yeah.
So, I was thinking that what are they going to do now as writers and things?
Oh, exactly.
What will be, there is a crippled Asian woman.
We have a zebra as a president. But he talks. Wacky.
Because they're going to have to do something.
Right. Well, that's the thing. I think Fifth Element was that was the movie that I'm like, all right, this is way more futuristic than what I grew up with. Back to the Future, for example. But you're totally right, though. I mean, It all depends. I really do think eventually, it just depends if liberal America will be able to just relax a little bit, because I really do think it's so funny when I was younger I used to be more liberal, and now I'm older and I'm like, it's so cut and dry. Let's put these bad guys behind jail. And the reason why I'm bringing that up is I really do think eventually there's going to be a Judge Dredd type of situation where it's not just a police officer, it's judge and jury.
I am the law! I am the law!
You know what I mean? I'm going back to Stallone Judge Dredd, not the new Judge Dredd.
Right.
You know what I mean? Let me have an unfunny Rob Schneider as a sidekick, and then let's go take care
It'll
of business.
It'll be fine.
You know? But that's the thing, and I just think it's just because now the public, and because of the internet, I really do think the internet is going to be what does it. It's because... I just think because now the internet, everybody has access to information all the time. Before, you'd have to make sure you get the paper and have time to read the paper. And then it was TV came out and you had to be there for the news. There was no DVR. There was no VCR in the beginning. No. So everybody was glued to their television sets and newspapers reading about what's going on. And now because of the internet, they don't have that, and they can get it whenever they want. And then the worst part about it is they don't just get the information. They get it from some third source or some, now all of a sudden the conspiracy
Facebook
theory.
They get it from
Facebook. Facebook, and then it's just, and now everybody's information is halfway true now, and I'm not even saying it was true back then,
but it was more true because there was the standards. I went to school, college, journalism was my minor, and it used to be just who, what, when, where, how. That's what you did.
Yeah.
You had the respectability of journalism because you didn't want to stray from that. If they didn't believe you, you lost all credibility.
Right.
It was, and now I don't think people even care about
they want the
breaking story. They want to sell more papers, whatever.
They want
it's not about credibility.
And here's the worst part about it: they want the breaking story, but they want to report it the way they want it to be.
That
you know what I mean? And it's like, I'm not trying to, bring up old wounds or anything like that, but the whole Trayvon Martin thing, it was, when I first saw the picture of him, I was like, whoa, that kid, oh, we got to do something. And then, wait a minute, he's not a cute little 12-year-old kid, he's a 17-year-old, 6'3", 165, it's a big guy.
It's a big difference between the pictures they posted.
Exactly, and of course that there was such a public outcry when they originally saw that picture.
Mm-hmm.
And even today, when you see people, carrying around, for Trayvon and the marches and all that stuff, those aren't the pictures of him at 16, 17 years old. They're still using the 11 or 12-year-old.
Right. They're not the pictures that they showed him flipping off on Facebook.
Yeah,
the thug life that he's trying to portray on
Facebook. And that's the thing. And it's just, and of course... the public is going to be so swayed when they see a picture. A picture paints a thousand words.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what's going on. And then, you know, but it's just one of the sad truths out there. And it's amazing because, like, whenever you would bring up something negative about him, about Trayvon, people will go, oh, you know, you're trying to ruin his memory. But whenever they brought up something shitty about George Zimmerman, it's like, that's right, go get him. And it's like, well, you can't, it goes both ways.
Yeah.
This is a court case we're talking about here, and lawyers are going to use everything they can.
Yeah, I was kind of confused, but trying to figure out what was going on, why it became such national attention. And I think it fell into play right about the time they were talking about gun control.
Right.
So they were trying to do this, like, look how bad, horrible, we should be, quote, controlling the guns. And it's really weird how I think the government wants to control the guns these days.
This is my take on gun control. I think both sides are... Oh, I think both sides are very passionate about their beliefs, and I understand both sides. I'm like, all right, well, let's just do gun control. You know what I mean? Oh, we can't have that. They're gonna tell us what guns. They're not putting a limit on how many guns. You know, they're not putting a limit on how many guns you can own, and they're not putting a limit on. Granted, the clips are trying to put a limit on,
right.
Which, you know. But this is the thing, though, and so I'm always like, well, you know, what's the big deal if they just kind of monitor you having guns? But then at the same time, you see all these people going, we got to get rid of the guns, and you know, we shouldn't have guns. And I'm like, whoa, settle down, because right now we've dug ourselves in such a deep trench that you have to, you know, I mean,
you got to protect yourself.
You know, and that's the thing, and it's like, you can't let the bad guys have the guns.
Because they will. See, that's what laws. That's my argument always. Is always, we need these laws. Bad guys don't follow laws.
Bad guys don't follow laws.
How hard do I have to push this to you?
Exactly.
Bad guys don't.
They don't.
You know what car windows do? They keep good people from breaking in.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, and that's the thing. So I'm kind of torn on the issue, because, and another thing too with gun control, it's like, all right, fine. You know, let's just say we do gun control, and everybody does more background checks and all this stuff. And in some cases, maybe, I mean. You know, I don't like the idea of, like, some convicted felon who's been in and out of jail so many times having the same rights, you know, in the same access that you and I have,
right.
You know what I mean? So it makes me a little uncomfortable. But at the same time, though, what is gun control really going to do, though? It's not going to do anything, because these psychopaths out there that are like, oh, you know, Brady Bill, make him wait a week. All right, I'm sure he can wait 7 days before he goes into the post office and blows everybody up.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, you really think that that's going to be what saves people, and it's not. And then what the over-the-top liberals fail to realize, and this is the thing that kills me, and it goes back to the whole John Lennon thing that we were talking about. I love the song Imagine. Great song, beautiful song, great point. Never gonna happen.
Hence the word imagine.
Yeah, exactly.
Imagine what
exactly.
It would be like.
Yeah. Look, I imagine that I fly on the back of a dragon every day.
You know what
I mean? Every day I do. And I'm it's like Pete's dragon, and I sing songs with my dragon.
Never ending story.
Exactly. Come on, Falcor. You know what I mean? It's like, let's go, you know, but it's never gonna happen. And the same thing applies with the Imagine, because it's so funny with that song. Because John Lennon was very anti Zhao Zedong, right? Is that the guy's name? He was the Chinese leader, communist Chinese.
Oh yeah, Mao Zedong.
Yeah, very anti Chairman Deng, right? But Imagine is one of the most communist songs you can think of, because he's like, get rid of religion, get rid of get rid of possessions, get rid of all. That's what communism is, and you're saying that it's bad. It's
right.
Like, no, look, believe me, I understand, and I agree, if we got rid of all this stuff, it would be a better place. Everybody would be like, oh, well, you know, what's mine is yours, and
yeah.
We all follow the same deal, so let's just, you know, why are we angry at each other? So I get it, but it's never going to happen.
Right. It was sort of, in a way, a joke.
Right.
I mean, wouldn't it be great if we didn't have fights and we didn't have
right.
to worry about possessions? Well, I mean, we'd all get along. That'd be great. Ha ha ha. But it's not going to happen. Let's move on.
Right.
That's sort of the way I always took the song, because you're always going to have a house,
right?
Always,
yeah.
And you don't want to be a clone. You don't want to have to walk out every day in your little red suit and stare at the picture on the wall.
And, yeah. You know, right. Yeah. And just hang out and you know we're going to sell the house. Yeah, right, yeah, exactly. Go work the government field, neat the Soylent Green, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no one wants that.
Or
do they?
But
that's what I'm thinking. I'm wondering now, are people starting to be like,
well,
I would be totally okay if all I had to do was look at my iPad and eat the gruel they gave me every day at 5.
But that's what's happening, and it all goes back to the smartphone thing. It's like we're just becoming dehumanized, and people aren't using their basic... Back in the day, you had to have a craft. You know, you had to be good at something to get by, whether it was being a blacksmith, whether it was being a jester, whether it was being an assassin or something. There was something
you had to have a skill.
Remember,
your parents would even tell you, have something to fall back on.
Right.
Yeah, I know you want to do that, but have something to fall back on.
You know what I have to fall back on right now? Is there anybody that's going to pay me an hourly wage so I can just talk shit to the customer? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, seriously, it's not going to work, dude. If I go down to, Lowe's or something like that and apply for a job, and like, hey, could you cut this particle board? Ah, but I can tell you how fat your wife is. You know what I mean?
It's
like,
yeah,
exactly. Snare, cymbal. It's not going to, it's just...
Were you talking about that skill and that craft, that's where people even got their names.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's where you got it, like, don't say Alice Cooper, but
right,
Cooper
yeah.
meant somebody that was a barrel worker.
Right.
Or,
Smith or whatever,
yeah.
You know, and you're totally right.
That's how they got their names.
Yeah, and it's like, yeah, nowadays it's like, that'll be like the same thing to put like the in front of it, you know what I mean? It's Steve the Comedian,
right. Right.
Or it's Steve the Podcaster, But
that would be interesting.
Yeah. I mean, you're thinking of a new name?
Yeah.
Or you're thinking of riding the Steve the Podcaster thing all the way through?
Well, I think Larry the Cable guy
right,
is already...
Kinda, yeah,
already...
Well, you know what, though? But I'm just saying, as soon as I said Steve the Podcaster, boom, light bulb right over your head.
I
right? I think I'm going to have to take that.
Man, Steve the Podcaster. What would you do if you couldn't do either radio or stand-up, though? What do you think you would...
You know what, man? Like...
Because at some point...
I have to do something... I'm not good with customer service. I'm not. Like, if somebody says, hey, do that, you got it. You know, no problem. But, like, when it's, because it's one thing if somebody has a problem with the work I did and they stay calm about it. I'm like, oh, no problem. I'm not going to charge you. I'll fix what I messed up. No problem. But at the same time, though, that's just America for you, where it's like that honor system is gone now, where it's like, hey, fix this, fix it for free, and oh, I'm going to sue you now, and it's like, it's just whatever, but I don't know, I mean, I thought about it, I'm good with kids, you know what I mean, so probably, I am, dude, kids love me, dude.
Come sitting on my Gucci
lap. Here, let me tell you about the future, we're going to have a zebra president one day, it's like...
Stop telling your kids those lies!
Yeah. But the thing is, though, it's like, I'm pretty good with kids, and it's like, I could see myself being like a teacher or something like that. You know, maybe
I could see you being more like Uncle Krusty or whatever.
Uncle Krusty.
What was the creepy clown on...
Oh, Krusty the Clown.
Krusty the Clown. That's what,
Simpsons?
Yeah, that's why I see you more like...
All right, kids, have a good day.
Oh, get these little bastards away from me. That's how I see you
right.
Working with kids.
I do it for like a week. What the hell was I thinking? Back to Lowe's. It's like, but that's probably what it is. It's either that or just something where, construction or whatever. Where basically, if I can't do anything creative, I just want to be able to shut my mind off and, maybe drive a steamroller or something like that over some concrete
so
or whatever.
You don't see yourself ever becoming one of those guys who could just live off his bartender girlfriend.
Oh, dude.
One of those guys that just lives off.
No, dude.
Because I remember you talking about that, like some supporting, like these guys that.
Oh, yeah.
The chick's
yeah.
been supported like
well,
for 4 years.
Well,
but,
that's the thing. Like,
how do guys do that?
Well, dude, you and I both know probably so many comedians. You know what I mean? Especially like when you were starting out, right? Because it's like now all the guys you start out, your eyes are all making money now, and you have houses and stuff, and you're living. You're like grown up. But the thing is when it all
like
started,
grown up.
It's grown ups, you know what I mean? But like in the beginning, we're always a bunch of kids, splitting rent and, just trying to, space out the money. But I know so many comedians that they'll scoop up some chick, and what happens is the girl ends up buying into their Twitter and Facebook BS, and I've got a big announcement. What's the big announcement? Oh, I got a brand new show where it sells pizza, pizza sack or shack or whatever. Oh, wow, that's your big announcement? That's going to bring in an extra $50 a week.
Yeah.
Way to go, baby. You know what I mean? But it's like they really talk, and again, this all goes back to worshiping like famous people and stuff, like with Kardashians and stuff. It's like now fame is the new religion. It really is. Like everybody, and to me, I think it's the most dangerous religion, because it's like everybody wants to make fun of L. Ron Hubbard or something like that, and in Christianity, you'll hear a lot of jokes being made at that expense, but everybody. They just, it's all about worshiping the celebrity, and there's so many guys out there that talk their girls, and it's always people that are creative, like art, like comics or rock stars or something like that,
yeah,
that are able to talk a girl into believing that once I make it, I'm taking you with me.
Yeah, because I'm a director. I shoot short films.
Right.
You're making Vine videos?
Yeah, right, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right.
I'm making short films.
This 6-second video, cut, you know what I mean? Like, really? You know, and that's the thing, man. I mean, it's a totally, and these women, they buy into that. And especially with comics, it's like, you know, it's funny too, because one of the guys I know that does it, he goes around town and they're like, hey, what do you think of this dude? I'm like, he's an all right comic, you know, he's good. And they're like, I mean, are you going to have him headline? No, I'm going to have him host. Like, why would I have him headline? And I'm like, well, if you look on his Twitter account or something like that, it's like, oh, I'm blowing up. Oh, you know, and hashtag, you know, oh, God is so great. Why? And it's because they got like,
because he got you an opening spot somewhere.
Yeah, right, yeah, you know, and then it's like, it'll be like opening spot, or maybe they landed an extra part in a TV pilot or something, and
yeah.
It's like, I'm like, for real, like, you know how it is, like, you go, like, you flat out to you, go, I go, how do you want me to bring you up? It seems like, say Comedy Central, that's, you know, nobody really gives a shit. And
that's really what you say, right? Nobody cares.
But this guy's over here like, well, tell him I was on this show, and this show, and this show, and this show, and I'm like, you were? Like, what? Yeah. You were, maybe the editing room floor, you know, and that's the thing, it's like, and because they do that, these women, they buy into it. And they really do think that these guys are going to blow up, and then they're going to be able to quit their jobs, and then
he's going
to
take care of me, and we're going to own an island in the Bahamas.
Yeah, he's going to kick you to the curb the second he finds someone thinner. You know what I mean? And that's what always happens, and it's sad, and it's just a non-stop thing. I could never be that guy. I could.
So you're not one of the self promotion guys that, because
dude, I'm the worst at self promoting, dude.
There's several that I follow here in around town on Twitter, mm-hmm. and things that like are almost exactly what you said.
Yeah.
Like they create their own stardom.
Yeah.
And I just think that's, you're almost hurting yourself by creating that kind of stardom.
You are, because what happens is when you create your own stardom, people get an idea and they get an expectation. And then when they go see you, they're like, whoa,
yep,
that didn't come anywhere close to what I was thinking it was going to be. And you might even have done a good job. But you know what? You set yourself up so high that, you know, you set the bar so high for yourself that when people go see you, they're like, not what I thought.
Yeah.
You know, and that's always what happens.
Yeah. I've seen that with some of the bigger name comics that I won't say.
Right.
But I've seen them drop in to do a guest set and almost get a standing ovation because, like, it's, oh my God, that's the guy from TV.
Right.
Oh my God, we're getting to... And then by the time they leave the stage, it's like...
Yeah. Yeah. Buckle up. Hello, reality.
Yeah.
Hello, reality. You
yeah.
know? And that's what happens,
and that's
man.
And that's what I find so annoying as a comic, and sometimes even the people in the audience, they're like, how is he a star and you still are still... doing this? How have you not gotten a TV show? How did you go and follow that and kill and go, I don't know, it's all about timing. Life is all about timing.
It's always about timing.
Did he know somebody? Was he in the right spot? Good for him, I say. Hopefully the right spot will still...
Right, right. You know, and the thing is, though, is everybody's got those opportunities. And that's basically what it is. And that's what so many people really don't understand about fame. I mean, say what you will about the Kardashians. And as much as I hate them, right?
Hate them.
I hate them. And I really do think they've killed Young women are ruined forever because of them.
Right.
Right? And it's...
If I make a sex tape, I can be famous.
Exactly. You know, and then... And now look at them. You know what? You got the one broad that... She ended up a teen mom. She ended up going out there and banging some porn star. And it was this... And it's the most sad thing ever because, you know, she's getting interviewed. I heard her getting interviewed one time. And she's over here talking about this. She's like, oh, you know, and it's so juvenile because she's like 20, 21 years old. She ends up having sex with this porn star. And, you know, she's moaning and making a big ordeal about it. And then afterwards, she's on this. And the porn star himself said, oh, well, we did this to make a porn.
Yeah.
She wanted to make money off this. And her whole thing was like, no, the tape got leaked. That's not what happened. The tape got leaked.
Right.
And then she's like, she goes, I don't know why you would make up stuff like that. You know, maybe because he has a small penis. He's a porn star, okay?
Right.
That's his job. You know what I mean? Like, God, how gaping is your vagina when you got to say a porn star's penis is small? You know what I mean? It's like, get out of here with that.
Well, you know, it's a lie. It's kind of like the other day, I watch Celebrity Big Brother from the UK.
Yeah.
And Dustin Diamond is one of the celebrities on, and they ask him in his introduction about the tape. He came right out and said, "Hey, I heard the Kardashian and Paris Hilton made like millions of dollars."
Right.
And my buddy goes, God. "Hey, Screech, where's the Screech tape? I bet you could make at least a million."
Right.
So he goes, "So I did it, and I made $300,000."
Right.
But he admitted right off the bat, like, "I just did it and." I don't know if you remember when it came out, it was supposed to be the same thing.
Yep.
The Screech tape got out. Ooh. It got, they try to keep it they make it and
they hope it explodes. And that's the thing. And it's like, and at least the Anthony Weiner skank, that chick, Sydney Leathers, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, that's not a porn name.
Yeah, exactly, right? That was actually a real name. I was what?
Not like him, Carlos Danger.
Yeah, Carlos Danger. But, dude. I'll give her credit. At least she's at least upfront and honest about it. Granted, do I look at her any differently? No, but I'm like, at least you were honest about it. But I mean, I mean, at least you're not gonna go, well, I ended up sleeping with a porn star, but it was just because we were having a relationship at the time. Oh, wow, how convenient for you.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? It's like, get out of here with that, man. And that's the thing, dude. It's like, you know, and plus there's young girls out there too trying to get pregnant just so they could be on TV. Mm-hmm. They think that's what's going to make their life.
And then I've had that argument with so many people who like that show or like that type of show going, no, that's a great show because it is showing how hard it is. It's keeping girls from getting pregnant because it shows how hard it is to be a mom. And I think that's totally bullshit.
Yeah, no, it's total. Because all you're doing is celebrating it. No matter what kind of struggle you're showing, you know what? You're still glamorizing it.
You put it on TV.
You know, and the thing is, though, is like, and you're putting it on TV, you're making a celebrity out of these girls that have no business being a celebrity. And next thing you know, they start basking in it, they start buying into their own bullshit, and then after a while, the money all runs out, and they end up being Dana Plato all over again. And that's...
What a reference. I'll give you one of these. You brought in Dana Plato.
I had to dust off Dana Plato. You know, but I mean, that's the thing. That's what happens, though. And there's so many people out there that are misled. And they go, like, somebody's like, whoa, Gooch, are you trying to tell me you wouldn't like a reality show? Well, it depends what it's about. I don't want somebody following me around every single day the second I wake up and watching me argue with my girlfriend or something like that. I don't want that.
They don't want you to show your fuck-ups.
I'll take that. You know what I mean? I'm more than happy talking about my fuck-ups. I've got so many, dude. We'll be here all day if you want me to start talking about my fuck-ups. But the thing is, but if it's like, you know, me going to a dingy open mic comedy room or something like that, or me trying out another job like, you know, Mike Rowe or that dirty job show that he does, that can be somewhat interesting because it's always going to be somebody's individual take on things. But when you're just saying, oh, this is someone's everyday life, she's 16 and pregnant, oh she's really stupid, and she has a hard time staying at school, and her boyfriend's leaving her, and wow, didn't see that coming. Did we really even have to make a show about this? We already knew this.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this doesn't make it any more real. Yeah. And on top of that, this is reality television. It's not real. Something has to happen, and then they go, okay, cut, do that whole thing all over again. You know, that's what always happens.
Yeah. And then it turns out to be they always end up here in Vegas because, like, just driving down the street, there's a sign talking about that girl from the 16 and pregnant.
Oh, yeah.
Abraham, whatever her name.
Farrah Abraham.
She's at the crazy horse.
Yeah.
So she's gone. She's gone from that to now I'm at a strip bar.
Yep.
And I don't know.
Heidi Montag. That's right. Another one.
I just started to bring that up. Yeah. I saw that sign yesterday on a back street. We were coming back from a radio thing and took a back street. And it's not even on the strip. Heidi's name isn't. It's on one of the back roads over here. And it's like, as we drove by, I caught it out of the corner of my eye. I was like, was that Heidi Montag?
Yeah.
So it was.
Yeah, yeah, dude.
So she's doing at the Crazy Horse?
She's doing her thing at the Crazy Horse. And I don't know if they're dancing or if they're just signing autographs, but that's the thing, dude. And it's only a matter of time until they bring Sidney Leathers to the Crazy Horse. And it's like, it's just America's fascination with people in front of the camera. I don't know why people even care. Like, my mom. One time I come home and I caught her watching the Kardashians, and I was like, "You're going to a home." Like
you turned it off and go, "Get in your room right now."
Get in your room right now, and you keep that TV off too. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, I was like so mad. I'm like, "Oh, I was gonna take care of you when you get old, but now it's to the home."
But
you know,
it's a sad version when people buy into that without accepting the fact it's not real. You know, if you could just watch it and go, "Yeah, whatever." But there's people that buy into the fact, no, that's real. No, it's not. Do you think when somebody finds out they're being dumped, they're just going to go, fine, go. I don't need you here.
Right.
Well, it's bad acting.
It's
just
like the idiot that believes in magic. There's people out there, or wrestling. You know what I mean? It's just like that person.
What?
Wrestling's totally real. Yeah. How dare you? But, it goes... I've seen people literally, like, when they see, you know, let's just say, there was one time I met a wrestler, he was the Godfather, his name was the Godfather, and he's actually the manager at Cheetah's Gentleman's Club over here, right? Super nice guy, and he starts talking about, you know, what wrestling was like, and he was telling me, he goes, it's amazing when people see you walking around with your supposed enemy, you're gonna have a match with.
You should fight right there.
That's what I'm saying. They go, they're beside themselves because you helped them. And he didn't say this, but I kind of pieced it together. I'm like, because that's the thing. As a character in wrestling, you're teaching that audience member to hate that person.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, you guys are together, and then it's like, oh, everything's a lie. You know. And
you don't really hate the Undertaker.
What? You mean to tell me that's not a thing? It's Hulkamania? How dare you? You know. It's just. It really is crazy, you know, and the reaction people have, same thing, and like magic too. It's like when I was a kid and I first saw magic, I was like, oh my God, that's the craziest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
But then Kara, same chick, she went and saw David Copperfield one time, and there was a trick where he made a bunch of audience members disappear. So what happens is they all go up on stage. And then, boom, they're gone, and they don't know it, and then all of a sudden, somebody just started herding them into a different room. Well, David comes out, and he's like, look, you guys, please keep this to yourselves. Don't tell them all how this happened. And then, you know, and then the next thing you know, they're on the other side. They're in back of the room waving at everyone saying, hey, this, you know.
Like, how did this?
How did we get here? You know, and that's the thing, and it's almost like you, when someone's, and she told me, and it was so funny too, because she told me this. I go, how'd that trick happen? She goes, if I tell you, it's going to ruin it forever. And I go, what? I go, really? I go, tell me. Just tell me. And then she told me. And then every single magic trick since then has been ruined.
For you.
Yeah.
It's done.
It's done. I don't care what. I don't care what happens. Yeah, there's times where I'm like, oh, wow, how do you do that? And then I catch myself. I'm like, well, don't buy into it because you know it's bullshit. You know what I mean? So
right. Well, yeah, I've always sort of been one of the guys that... I kind of, like you said, I enjoyed it when I was little, but as I became an adult, I was like, I'm annoyed that you're tricking me.
Yeah, exactly.
You're tricking
right.
me.
Why am I angry?
You just playing a trick on me?
Yes. Yeah. What, you think I'm stupid?
I don't believe in magic. I don't think that coin burst into flame exactly. in your hands.
Yeah. Do I look dumb to you?
Yeah.
Huh? What?
Yeah.
You gonna make some balloon animals next, dickhead? Beat it. What? No, I'm just here for a kid's party.
I want to go to Jersey Shore. Or
yeah, exactly.
Kick your ass for tricking me.
Where's my affliction shirt?
Oh. Yeah. Well, this is where affliction comes to die.
Yeah, right. Yeah. That's what, oh, dude, it really is.
Especially now with the muscle man convention going on in the planet Hollywood.
Dude, you
can
just
right now
smell the water and vinegar, dude. It's so douchebaggy, dude. It's,
I tweeted out this morning. There's a bunch of them on the elevator coming down. It got off right as I was getting on. And I go, ooh, the douche troop.
Yeah, exactly, right? Don't mind me there. I don't need a neck. All right. Get in the car. Right,
somebody come wipe me.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah. Remember that old Bigfoot grainy video where it shows people, where it shows them walking across that brook?
Yeah, the creep, yeah, that kind of thing.
Yeah. And it was so funny. Whenever I see guys like that, I always remember one of these guys who was trying to get me to buy into it. Like, hey, don't. You know, this, watch, it's got to be a primate because watch how he turns his whole body, you know, because his neck, it's fused to his shoulders, so he can't really turn his head like you and I, so he has to turn his whole side. That's how those guys, they always remind me of Bigfoot. Every single time I see him, I'm like, dude, get out of here. But yeah, dude, I have a friend of mine, he was actually, did a Bigfoot, it was kind of like a comedy thing, and he was hanging out with some Bigfoot reporters, you know, like these guys trying to find Bigfoot, and there was another guy. His friend was with him. And anyways, his friend went like into the woods or something like that to go take a pee, and they didn't know what was going on. Anyway, his friend let out this yell. He goes like, "Aah!" Right? Everybody freaks out. They send this sound to UCLA. No one knows where it is. No one knows what it is. I was like, we think we heard Bigfoot. Meanwhile, it's my buddy's drunken friend.
Just out taking a pee in the woods.
Yeah, just let out this random yell. That's just to let you know, man. It's, everybody's always trying to pull the wool over your eyes.
Man, all right. Well, see, we did it. We're at 1 hour and 10 minutes. That's typical of my podcast. So
very fast.
I'm so glad you came down here and
well,
did
dude,
it.
Thanks, Steve. Thank you for having me, man. And once again, I got a podcast. It's called Rise to Offend, and I'm on Twitter at Your Buddy Gooch. But yeah, man, thank you very much for having me on.
Plug it a little bit more. I should have brought that up. Okay. Rise to Offend.
Rise to Offend is my podcast. You can get it on. It's me, my friend Dennis Huff, and my friend Petr Spych, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like we just talk about whatever's going on. It's about the same thing, about 1 hour, and you know, we do musical bits and you know,
you have a lot more production. Yeah. I enjoyed your, because I told you earlier, listened to yours, because you guys do like their song parodies and commercials and things, and
yeah, it's real, you know, and it's a lot of fun. And and then I also got you know, I'm available on KOMP radio. It's you can listen to me comp.com. I'm on Pacific Time 2 to 7, and I'm on Twitter at Your Buddy Gooch.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you, man.
Thanks for having it. It was fun. I think we solved some of the world's problems.
We did.
We remasculated some people.
Remasculated them indeed. All right, thank you, brother.
Sure.
And trucks and stooges, 3 men and boys, and that doesn't sound right. He thinks about boobs and bacon and power tools. Come with me, let your mask you leave. Oh, won't you come with me and remind?